Hello, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast, where we talk all things transportation and logistics. Joining me today to talk about the trucking industry during the month of April, specifically in the open deck marketplace, are two flatbed trucking professionals from Anderson Trucking Service, Justin Werner. Justin is going to be potentially on a trial basis hosting this podcast going forwards, depending on how today goes.
Trial run.
And then Tyler Turn. Can the two of you introduce yourself, starting with Justin?
Yeah, I'm the director of sales at Specialized. I've been there for 16 years now and started out doing customer service and then working my way up through customer service management and the director of customer service, and then now my current role since November of 22.
Tyler Turn, Corporate Sales and Service Manager at ATS. Mm-hmm. I've been with ATS since December of 2015.
Wow.
And I have spent a couple times there, a couple different roles, but customer service as well. And then I was out at one of our terminals. So
yeah, and you both work for ATS Specialized, which means what?
Flatbed division, a couple different, you know, we're doing the open deck freight, right? So we're doing flatbed, step deck, double drop, low boy, RGN type of.
The asset side. So yeah. So it's our trucks, our logo on the doors, our drivers, either company drivers or contractors that have signed on through ATS. So we're primarily focused on trying to keep those drivers moving, and then above and beyond that, or after that, trying to just get as much market share and grow our customers' portfolio as much as possible.
Sure. Awesome. And yes, ATS Specialized is a pretty significant player in that industry. So you guys are well equipped to kind of talk about the state of the market, the open deck market, and give advice to shippers and stuff. I kind of teed up some questions for us to just get us started here. Can you give us an overview, the state of the open deck transportation market in 2023? What changed? What challenges did we face? What does a shipper kind of need to know about what happened last year?
Yeah, I'll start.
Yeah.
So from the first part of the year to the latter half, we've seen rates decrease.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, that created some pressure on in many different facets, right? capacity. We had, you know, the early part of the year, capacity looked a little bit different than it did at the end of the year, right? And of course rates did as well. So it was an all right year.
Yeah.
What do you have to add, Justin?
So transportation is kind of the prototype in my head for examples of supply and demand. It's very volatile. And it could be seasonality spikes, could be just weather can spike the CPM on a load significantly from one day, one week to the next. And we dealt with some of the volatility last year where we saw a number of slowdowns in some other sectors of the business. I think the main thing, all the container business, all the import stuff coming over the last couple of years of COVID, there's all the supply chain issues. Yeah. Some of that stuff played out into 2023 and a couple of different factors. We saw less of the containers coming from overseas, which created a lot of the port congestion out in California and other places in 21, 22 during the COVID years, which tied up a lot of capacity, which left a lot of capacity not out there for the general freight, which helped drive up rates because people had to still move their product. And so that stuff, those trucks re-entered the marketplace because there's less container work, port work coming out of the ports there. But some of what where that shifted is some of the Mexican nearshoring effect that happened. So that's one thing we saw really kick off in 23 and grow pretty significantly was those customers that we dealt with, we were trying to get supplies from that were getting congested at the port during the COVID years, they started nearshoring that stuff into Mexico. So they moved their operations or plan our operations or whatever they could to get closer. Right. If they were importing to the U.S., they tried to get as close to the U.S. as possible so that they didn't have to deal with the ocean traffic and the ocean delays. And then that led to a growth in our Mexican business, which a lot of other carriers that participated in that network saw as well. So that's one area we did see a really good silver lining last year. We had pretty exponential growth down out of our Laredo facility specifically, but also led to opening a second facility in FAR, Texas. Yuma, Arizona.
Interesting. So when you're talking about rates being lower in 2023 than they were previously, is that a holdout from 2022? Or when did we start seeing those rates drop in the open deck marketplace in your estimation? Did it start in 2023 or was it?
Yeah, I would say we started to see a slow decline in the latter half, like legitimately July of 22. Okay. And it was a more gradual decline until I'd say probably about midway through last year. It kind of really hit full tilt, and then it reconciled itself pretty quickly. And it was humming at one level here. It quickly dropped to another level, and now it's kind of just stayed stagnant there.
Okay, and what do we have to see for that to change? For rates to change, like you said, it's a supply and demand game. We're waiting for what, capacity to exit the market?
Capacity to exit the market. Some seasonality stuff will help.
Driver turnover is at a high.
Yep.
You know, the generations that we're driving and that are driving today is different, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Folks that are in the younger generation don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. So I think as we continue to see that pressure on driver turnover, that's going to also impact rates and capacity and all that stuff too. Time will tell, but I would be pretty comfortable saying that that's going to play a pretty big part.
Yeah, we've seen pretty significant turnover within our own fleets and then across the country.
Right.
You're starting to see some smaller carriers start to exit.
Yeah.
The network, and I don't have current numbers, but there's definitely an increase in number of MCs, authorities leaving the marketplace each month compared to previous periods at similar times of the year. So that will drive up the supply and demand in our favor a little bit, whereas more providers leave, obviously there's less capacity out there for them to cost shop.
Yeah,
rates and try to find cheaper options if there's less partners out there looking for work.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to add there, I guess, is you know, there's costs don't go down, right?
Yeah.
At least they haven't been.
Yeah,
so that's going to apply some rate pressure as well. So I would expect that based off of, you know, some of the big transportation players in the world, right? And if they're seeing compressed margins and things like that, that would lead me to believe that they will not continue to operate that way for long periods of time.
Yeah.
So that's going to change things.
Point. There's a number of larger publicly traded companies that operate in our market that obviously, because they're publicly traded, are having earnings reports and everything out there. And most of them looked significantly under where they either projected to be or where they had been in previous periods. So the carriers are definitely feeling the pain of, like Tyler mentioned, the increased costs and the rate pressure we're getting. And carriers aren't going to be able to subsist and continue to operate at the margins that they are right now. So there is going to have to be some reconciliation somewhere down the line
here,
and hopefully sooner rather than later.
When we're talking about cost pressures in the industry remaining high, we're talking about things like fuel, insurance, whatever. What else? Driver pay, fixed overhead expenses.
Yeah, I think your fixed cost is probably really what's driving some of that, right? The cost of the truck, the maintenance, right? The availability of parts, your fuel costs, you know, your driver pay, right? Your benefits, all those things, right, for these drivers. Insurance is a big one. I know we talk about that often, right? That does not go down, right? So,
And empty trucks really hurts you because, as with any vehicle, a truck depreciates as time goes on. You have to account for that. And if you're not pushing any production or revenue through that truck, it's just a sunk cost. And the more trucks you have sitting, obviously the harder it is to make money.
Yeah, sure. you can't generate revenue against that truck if it's right. not if it's not seated, right? So if it's seated, you have a opportunity to generate revenue with that truck. So
a lot of carriers are looking for drivers out there right now. So a lot of people are in the same boat where they have trucks sitting on the sideline ready for work, but they can't find enough drivers ready or able to step up. And the insurance stuff has placed a higher threshold for the quality of the driver that you're bringing mm-hmm. in too. There's a lot of risk out there that the carriers are taking on, so you have to make sure that you put yourself in the best position by only hiring the best and safest drivers out there, or else the back end could be way more
costly.
Yeah, punitive to you than just waiting another week or two to get the right driver in the seat. So that's one thing that's definitely.
Yeah, how much do you know about the things that drive up the like insurance costs? Is it mostly due to those, you know, the occurrences of those nuclear verdicts, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of it. It's those nuclear verdicts where there's certain states, certain counties that are not transportation provider friendly, and they have taken big swings at either brokers or carriers in a number of instances. And naturally, if you're an insurer, you want to make sure you're covering your back end there. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden this industry is getting a lot of attention and highlights and paying out these big verdicts, you have to account for that in your premiums and everything. So it definitely leads to increased costs on our side. We've seen that across the industry.
I think there's things that carriers are doing, you know, that can help some of that too. You think about even just people in their automobiles, right? There's more, you know, camera equipment and things like that are available. So I would assume that carriers in the marketplace will, and insurers too, right? They're going to look for those things to help mitigate some risk, right? And I would expect some of that to be more prevalent in the next couple of years here as we move through those higher costs, and carriers are going to be looking for ways to drop those and you know, find some wins there. So I would expect there to be some other technology.
So with that in mind and those costs going up and capacity kind of lingering, if not dwindling a little bit month over month here, how has demand kind of shifted over the last 12 to 18 months have you seen? And what are those industries that kind of drive demand in the open deck marketplace? Is it typically like, I don't know, like infrastructure or new construction starts, or like what is driving open deck? I know on the van side, it's a lot of consumer purchases, right? It's a lot of consumer spending.
Yeah, there's a number of things, I think, and Justin, you'll be able to talk to this a little better than I will, but I mean, weather is a big component in the flatbed world, right? And I'm just talking from a seasonality standpoint, from, you know, storms, from, you know, from hurricanes to you name it. Right, any of that stuff can really have an impact in our world.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we've been fortunate in 24, right? 23
up until the last week here.
Yeah, 2023 we had a record snowfall, so that drove a lot of capacity in down south. Right, drivers don't want to be up here. They don't want to tarp a load. They don't want to, you know, have to sit for 2 or 3 days to winter that storm. So weather played a big part.
Yeah.
In some of especially in open deck because. Our drivers are needing to be outside of the trailer doing securing, tarping, et cetera, and that weather obviously hits them harder than if you just have to close the door and hop in your truck. As far as the industries and everything out there so far this year, so we a lot of new construction related, so that's where weather, like Tyler mentioned, we end up seeing a lot of seasonality tied to that, where in the winter months, they're not breaking ground north of the Mason-Dixon and building new buildings if the ground's frozen. So there's not obviously as many construction projects that are breaking ground. There might be stuff already in works that we could participate in. But so we generally see less northern activity in the winter.
Yep.
And that leads to a high density of trucks south of the Mason-Dixon, which is very common in the industry. So it leads to big swings on rates out of those southern states.
Yeah.
Specifically, your Texases, your Georgias, you might see a dollar a mile spread in an outbound rate of there between January and June, just based off how many trucks are down there and the overall demand. Infrastructure stuff for sure. So tied to the government, that can create delays and issues. It's an election year. That means that stuff tied to infrastructure-related jobs will likely kind of be stagnant this year because nobody wants to bite off anything new because they don't know who's going to be in office and what that's going to be from tax implications and everything. But yeah, we do a lot of construction in ag, and yep. I would say the kind of the one silver lining industry right now, a lot of industries are a little bit tempered, just overall activity, as yeah. you could probably expect, just with the overall economic outlook for the country. But anything tied to power transmission or storage right now is kind of got a little bit of runway there.
Oh,
where
really?
Where you know, that's there's a big green initiative in the United States, and trying to reconcile the old infrastructure with what's needed for the new infrastructure and the capabilities of our old energy sources compared to like wind or solar and the storage abilities of those and that, and trying to make sure that we have enough power generation for like your base activities. And there's a lot of companies working on creative solutions for that, and they need transportation.
Yep.
And they have a lot of runway right now. There's a lot of interest, and people are spending money to find those solutions, so they have money to spend on transportation.
Yeah, there's some tax credits and some of that stuff that's going to drive some of that pressure too, right?
Yeah, right.
People are going to be
more subsidized.
Yeah, yeah, people are going to be more willing to try that stuff and dip their toes in that ball field, which they didn't before.
Yeah, a lot of times it takes something like tax credits to kickstart.
For sure.
Those kind of initiatives.
Yeah. And also big, especially tech companies are investing a lot in like data centers. Do you see a lot of
that's tied to a lot of what I was talking about, the power transmission and storage, and I guess generation as well. But data centers are obviously huge. There's
a lot of opportunity.
You can pull up any number of just reference industry articles that, depending on which one you read, you know, we're going to double, triple, quintuple our kilowatt production over 1, 2, 3 years. So each of those requires this many data sets or data centers in order to generate a kilowatt of energy. So it's definitely for storage.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Gotcha. Looking at a little shorter window of time or more focused. Window of time here. What changes in April in the open deck marketplace, if anything, or in the late spring? What are we coming into? Construction?
Yeah, I tell you that, you know, the weather should be getting warming. Right? It should be warming up, right? I know we just got
we just got some snow up here.
We
got a lot of snow.
Yeah. But I would tell you it should be warming up. So I would expect some construction to be happening up here in the Midwest. You know, out east and on the West Coast as well. I think that, you know, they've had a little bit of weather, but things look it's spring. So I think there'll be some action there. Agriculture, you know, folks are gonna be getting the field planting and harvesting and doing all that stuff. So that'll bring a little bit of opportunity to the Midwest.
Dealers want stuff in their locations right now to be selling to farmers and construction companies. We looked at this, and March, April, May are our three busiest months. If you segregate those three months, so it's not a clean quarter two, quarter one. It's, you know, partway in the second one. And we are at least about a 10% increase in our load count in those 3 months compared to the other months of the year. And that's the average of the other months of the year. It kind of tails off towards the end of the year. So it's not a black and white representation. But that's all tied to that construction and ag business. And we're kind of keeping our eyes on the news right now, because we're very busy going into and out of Dundalk Terminal there in Baltimore, which just got hit by the barge coming in there. So that's something
crazy. That is a different.
It's wild, definitely wild. And obviously, this is being recorded a day after that happened. So it's still in the investigation or learning stages on our end as far as how that's going to impact our business and where that business is going to go to. Coming out of and going into, there's obviously a number of ports in the Northeast that wouldn't really change the makeup of how we have to run our network significantly, but it will. There is variances between the ports that might make
for
business
sure.
more difficult for some carriers or others.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some of those.
Yeah, Baltimore's supposed to be like within the top three busiest ports on the Eastern
Seaboard. And it's the busiest for construction ag equipment and hazmat stuff, I believe, as well.
Yeah, so I think that bridge was mainly for hazmat.
For hazmat,
it's kind of what I've learned, true or not. But
interesting.
Yeah, so I would expect there'd be some capacity that will shift from there.
Yeah.
Either going to there for export or coming import, right? And finding other places for that stuff. It sounds like there's no, you know, there's 107 vessels that were scheduled to be chartered into Baltimore on mm-hmm. the books right now. Those have been moved right now to where is the golden ticket. So
interesting.
We'll see how that kind of plays out.
Going back to that 10%, those 3 months are 10% higher than previous years,
all other months of the year.
Is that freight moving or is that RFQs you're doing or what is that?
That's just that stuff that would have been previously either bid on an RFQ or spot pricing live on the spot. There's some of that as well. But yeah, it's just kind of the cycle with when these customers out of those locations get busy.
Okay. That's just the freight moving.
Yep. Yeah. It's just the seasonality of it.
Yeah. Okay. And that is looking to write the same story this year? Same thing is happening this year? Are you seeing a drop in load?
That's a good question.
I guess we're noticing there's a little bit of rate pressure happening right now. Mm. Now, what is hard to tell is it's end of the quarter, it's end of the month, right?
Yeah.
So is it just a blurb in time here, or is this gonna carry through April? I think that's part of the question, right? Capacity as well, we're starting to notice, you know, things do normally tighten up at the end of the month, end of the quarter. But what does that tell us for April, right? And that's kind of what we're trying to forecast, what we're trying to live through. It's going to be, no one has the golden globe, but I would think things aren't going to be, it's not going to go back to anything like COVID, right? But I would mm-hmm. expect there to be some continued pressure here, as we've talked about, as drivers exit the market. And
I would still be surprised if when we look back at the end of this year that these aren't the three biggest
load
count months.
Yep.
March, April, May.
Yep.
So I would say we're still feeling some of that increased demand in those months, but they still have other options. That's kind of the difference of this year and last year was this year and the last couple of years was, I think we personally are seeing some of that business right now because where we're positioned, where the overall volumes aren't higher being output from the mm-hmm. customer level. I don't think it's significantly contracted much, but it's where you are slotted on the contract was a big deal the first part of this year so far. Mm-hmm. There's if you weren't primary carrier on lanes, you saw very little chance of seeing that business.
Sure.
On contract customers, where in previous years, if you're looking back at 21-22, carriers were rejecting 20-30% of what they're getting offered. And this year and last year, it's like 2-3%. Huh. So you could go in previous years and maybe not be the primary carrier, but still see business.
Sure.
Because primary carriers would turn it down 20-30% of the
time. They're turning it down because there's better offers?
They're turning it down because it's too cheap for them
to
do
it. Yeah, the rates are likely deficient.
So
So they've contracted this as a primary carrier or bid on it.
So people will go in with low rates just to get possession of it. Yeah. And then if the market stays low, they can continue to service that.
Sure. Yep.
But there are some carriers that will go in low and knowing that if the market's going to heat up or increase, they're just going to drop that customer the grease. Mm. And you try to push customers away from those kind of carriers because they're not looking out for a partnership or anybody's best interest. They're just trying to fulfill their own needs. This year and last year, the latter part of last year, that's where we really saw that primary carrier acceptance just really stay super high, where they just weren't turning anything down. So that's led to some of the beatdown on rates, where we knew going into the year because of the behavior that we saw in the latter part of last year that where you're positioned on that contract ranking upon final bid was going to be a big determining factor on how much volume you're going to see from customers throughout that time.
So are you looking for an increase in those tender rejections then as a kind of a leading indicator that rates are going to be coming up a little bit?
That is definitely an indicator.
We're on the lookout for anything that maybe you're not primary on and you're, you know, second, third, fourth in the waterfall tendering system. Yeah. If you're starting to see those opportunities, that would tell us that the primary care and secondary are turning those down. So there's things are moving, right? Capacity's tightening, rate pressure's happening.
Sure.
That would be.
Yeah, there's a number of indexes out there that can give us a viewpoint into overall market demand as well, but that's definitely one that we look at to just to make sure that we're on top of the opportunity and how we need to operate.
And like the load to truck ratio, that's, you know, that's something that some folks will look at and kind of measure based off of their area, right?
Sure.
Like on an average for, it's pretty close to where it was last year right now.
Okay.
We'll see what kind of reports.
But that's
there.
Significantly down from the previous couple years.
Yes, absolutely. From 21 and 22.
Meaning that there's less loads and like in nearly the same amount of trucks.
Yeah. I don't know the truck count is shaken out specifically on the year-over-year timeframes on that. But, yeah, it's just the amount of freight you have more than the number of trucks. Yeah. You know, how big is that disparity?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Interesting stuff, guys. I just have this final wrap-up question about how, you know, going forward in April or through the rest of 2024, how shippers or what shippers can do to kind of make their supply chain more efficient by working alongside their carriers. I put in here that, you know, what can they do to improve communication, reduce delays, or enhance visibility? Those aren't necessarily the things you need to speak to, but just like any tips you would have.
I think from the customer facing side, I think communication's probably key here, right? You know, as a transportation provider, we're not always, we don't always know exactly what's happening within our customer, and our customer doesn't know exactly what's happening within our business, right? So I would tell you that I think creating a partnership with somebody that you're able to understand their side of this is going to help you, right? We're talking about that primary care again and that acceptance. If you're going to have somebody put paper rates on something and just hope to gain a bunch of market, but doesn't know if they can service it, right? Sure. You're not helping yourself. And truthfully, they're just looking for a short-term win there. So I think partnering up with people that are willing to invest in you and you invest in them, have those conversations and kind of live through as this market moves, if it does and where it goes. I think that's going to be important as we move through 2024, especially in the election year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've seen, and I'm sure others have, there's been a trend in the industry where, and it's not just the industry, it's just as technology has taken over everybody's lives in the last 10, 15 years, there's more information available to everybody. There's quicker ways to get it.
TikTok.
And yeah, there's platforms. A lot of customers have platforms now, TMS sites that take out a lot of the human interaction. And some of that, there's pros and cons. You know, they're getting information quicker. It's probably more consistent and reliable just because it's factual based. Yeah. This is where the driver's at. This is when they arrived. This is when they pulled out of there, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't have any component of the human relationship there, you can only take that so far, in my opinion. And you get a lot of benefits from, like Tyler said, creating that partnership where if it's just a face or a name on the computer screen and a platform,
yep.
There's a lot of extras and creative solutions we can provide in situations when someone might need it. If we have a little deeper knowledge and understanding of that customer, what the needs are, what the priorities are, and how we can best meet those. But without that engagement and being able to create that dialogue and that engagement and relationship, it's tough to delineate all that from just the rest of everything else.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's really, really price driven on the.
It gets really price driven on the shipper side at that point, and a lot of the other components, the subjectives get lost in
the
fray.
Value adds,
which I know it makes it harder to evaluate if you're just trying to evaluate subjectives, but if you're just evaluating the qualitative or the kind of whatever the numerical stuff, and not creating any deeper level of understanding or partnership, I think you're leading yourself into to being shortchanged in the overall
situation. You're missing opportunities to optimize,
to partner up and grow together. Yes,
inbound needs.
I think you know, quarterly business reviews, right? Things of that nature that you're able to connect with a carrier or whoever you're partnering with to understand what challenges they may face or what opportunities they might have for you. And then vice versa, give those back.
I think that's one way, two-way street.
Yeah, for sure. We can definitely partner up with folks and help them understand where we're at. And then in turn, they will help us service it so we can make this work for both of us.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for
thanks for having us.
Have a great rest of your Wednesday. I will wrap us up here. So you have been listening to Beyond the Road, produced by Anderson Trucking Service. If you liked what you heard here today, make sure to follow along wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube, so if you're watching us there, you can go ahead and subscribe. For more transportation industry-related content and information, head over to the Learning Hub on atsinc.com/learning-hub. On the Learning Hub, you will find a comprehensive library of answers to transportation's most common questions, including articles, videos, podcast episodes like this one, downloadable tools, and more, all created to help you become the supplier that always delivers for its customers. Thank you again for listening, and I hope to speak to you again soon on another episode of Beyond the Road.